Entertainment versus Truth, July 16, 2011, by Ernie Noll. In my dream, I am walking along a path. On either side, a variety of trees, bushes, and flowers provide a delightful scent. The trees are alive with birds singing to the glory of their Creator. I hear the sound of leaves under my feet. They have begun to fall and now lay scattered on the path, providing a softer walk. Even though I am fully aware of my surroundings, my mind is in a continual conversation with my Father in heaven. I am troubled with the fact that there will be such a small remnant. A message was delivered to prepare, to confess and ask forgiveness of sins. Yet so many have ignored the messages I am told to share. Instead of individuals repenting while there is still time, they state that I am a false prophet and do not receive messages from God. Some state that even false prophets give a message to repent. Some become so convincing that they lead others to believe their doubts and criticisms. Those who listen to these individuals do not bother studying to verify for themselves whether what they have been told is correct. As I continue walking, I tell the Heavenly Father that I still feel so alone in my walk. I tell him I have delivered his messages, yet I am troubled by those individuals who received rebuke but have not humbly repented. I share how accusations are made that I am a fraud and that I have not shared anything new. I tell the Father how he told me 2 winters ago of the weather that would be expected and which has occurred. I think of the cold, the snow, and the ice that was seen during the last winter. I think of how I was told to share about the tornadoes, death, and destruction that would come in the spring. I was told of the rain and melting snow and ice that would bring death and destruction again. I was warned about the fires and recorded heat this summer, which would cause more deaths. I think about how all this has happened. I now stop walking and look behind me at the path I have come from. I am reminded of the mistakes I have made and know that God has forgiven me. Yet I still feel alone. In a heartfelt prayer to my Father, I ask him to pass on my duty as a messenger to someone else. I tell him that with the errors I made, I brought doubt to those who once believed. Now they are united in a loud voice to say that I should not be listened to. I ask what good the messages to prepare are doing if I am seen as a fraud. Looking down at the path, I kneel on the carpet of leaves and close my eyes. I once again ask my Heavenly Father to find someone else to serve as his final messenger to awake the sleeping Laodicean people, because I have muddied the mantle he gave me. I state that I have done a great disservice to him and plead that he will give the mantle to someone more deserving. I now feel a warm hand placed on my right shoulder. I open my eyes and see that hand helping me to my feet. Through my tears, I look into the beautiful eyes that can only be described as the love of the love of the love. It is my brother and Savior, Jesus. I tell him that I need to speak with him about so many things and that I have shared the messages he asked me to share. I explain that I do not like being here on this earth and no longer want to be here. I state that I know he took Enoch and Elijah to heaven and that Moses was laid to rest but was raised and now walks in heaven. I cry and plead that I be taken to heaven now. I recall the things I have seen there and the other planets and things throughout the universe. Yet I still walk this dark, diseased, and sin-filled earth. I tell Jesus that I can no longer walk this earth. He reaches down and wipes the tears from my face. As he begins talking, I hear such calm in his voice that it soothes my troubled soul. It is now that I notice many angels have accompanied Jesus. The herald stands to his right. I notice many different attending angels going far down the path in both directions. The birds stop their singing, and all becomes quiet. Jesus looks toward the herald and smiles. The herald begins to sing softly, and all the angels join in. Jesus turns to me and says, "Let us walk along together, until that day when, if you remain faithful, we will walk together always." As we continue to walk along the path together, I notice that the decaying leaves under his feet now come back to life and are again a living green. The leaves that had served their purpose now no longer carry the curse of sin. Jesus holds the keys to death and life. I immediately recall John 11:25, where Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I understand that even though this verse refers to mankind, it reminds me of how Jesus is life for all of his creations. even by the simple touch of his foot. I know that these leaves are only restored for the time that we walk, and that all who come to Jesus will have eternal life with him. I begin to wonder if the reason why Jesus does not touch the earth when he returns is because his power is so strong that even the simple touch of his foot would bring everything to life. I now look up into the peaceful face of Jesus and tell him I have several questions and much to talk about. He looks at me with a smile and says, "It is a good thing that this path is long." I laugh, and he places his left arm around my shoulder and hugs me as we walk along. From a distance, the angels continue to softly sing. Jesus explains that he has heard my pleas to the Father, and that I was selected before birth to serve as a messenger. The path I walked before was allowed to bring me to where I now understand. He hugs my shoulder again, calls me by my heavenly name, and tells me that there is something I need to know. He explains the following. The name given to me by my parents was predetermined by God, because he knew that I would be called to serve. Although I go by the name Ernie, that is not the name given to me by my parents. The name on my legal documents is the real name my parents gave me. The name I am called in my dreams is the name I will be called in heaven, if I remain faithful. It does not mean that I am predestined to be saved, because predestination is not of God. I must choose to follow God and remain faithful in order to receive my heavenly name. It is a name I do not remember once the dream has ended. Each of the saved will be given a new name in heaven. It is the description of a person's character. My real full name that was given to me at birth and documented by my parents is Ernest Ray Knoll. Jesus further explains that just as my heavenly name has a special meaning, the name given to me by my parents also has a special meaning. The first name, Ernest, means truth. This can be seen at www.meaning-of-names.com/search. I have also spelled my name as Ernest, E-R-N-E-S-T, without the letter A. That name also means truth. My nickname, Ernie, also means truth. So the three variations of my first name mean truth, truth, and truth. This can be seen in the name of the book on my website, which I was instructed in the boardroom dream to call The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But The Truth. The Truth book includes the boardroom dream. I tell Jesus that some have made the accusation that the Truth book was written only to defend myself. As mentioned in the last dream, I was instructed that I was not to be involved with the writing of the book. I was also told what subjects were to be included. I was allowed to write the dedication to the book, but other individuals agreed to assist with the writing through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus now points to the right, and I see the following words appear. It may at times be necessary for the servant of God to vindicate his own character and to defend his course, that the Lord's name may be glorified, and the truth be not reproached. Let all who are treated with neglect or injustice follow the example of Samuel, taking care not to make self prominent, but to maintain the honor of God. Let the injured one, instead of dwelling upon the wrongs which he has suffered, show the people how they have wounded Christ in the person of his servant. Many hearts would thus be led to humiliation and repentance, when, if personal feelings were aroused, they would be as hard as stone. Signs of the Times, July 27, 1882. Jesus tells me that sometimes it is important for those who serve God to defend themselves in order to glorify him. Jesus continues by telling me that even though I failed many times throughout the years, I have been protected by heavenly angels. We stop walking and all becomes quiet again. Jesus stands in front of me and places a hand on each of my shoulders. He further explains that my name, which means truth, is not the only name I was given. He says that long before I was conceived, I was called by the name Ernest Ray Knoll. The name Ray means wise protector, or a beacon of protective bright light. My last name, Knoll, means a dweller near or at the top of a hill. Jesus says that my name was selected long before I existed to serve as a wise protector of bright light on a hill to shine forth the truth. to serve as the messenger of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In answer to other questions, when it was stated in the last dream that I am serving as the final messenger for God's church, it was not me who stated it, but rather the herald who brought a message from God's throne. Others will receive dreams as well. Jesus and I start walking again, and the angels begin singing softly. As I notice the leaves coming back to life while Jesus and I walk along, I ask him if he will bring pets back to life so that we can enjoy them in the new earth as we did on this earth. Jesus explains that books have been written on this subject, in which ideas were given that are not based on Bible truth. He says we need to understand that he came to save those who were created in his image, his brothers and sisters. The animals were not created in God's image. Jesus did not come to save animals, but he did create them for our enjoyment. Jesus further explains that he will create all things new. He will not resurrect animals. Therefore, you will not find earthly pets in heaven or in the new earth. So the answer to my question is not a maybe or wait and see, but a no. Those who believe they cannot be happy in heaven without their earthly pet will not be in heaven. Jesus now reminds me that in the last dream, he sent specific invitations to those individuals he named. He has waited for them to humble themselves and repent. He reveals how Satan has encouraged them to call me a false messenger when I was created to be the messenger of truth. Jesus shares how in the last dream I was told of the wrath of God and how it will be poured out like thick liquid over the surface of the earth. He reveals that when that occurs, it will be the last opportunity for the named individuals to repent. If they refuse to do this, their door of probation will close, and they will be raised in the second resurrection for their final judgment. Those who humbly repent will receive God's mercy. We stop walking, and Jesus points to the right. I view a representation of what I know will be in the future. I see a tall angel pick up what resembles a large clay pot with a large handle on each side. He begins pouring out a very thick liquid that falls over the surface of the earth in equal amounts worldwide. When the angel has poured out the last drop, he returns to the Heavenly Father to report that he has completed his task. When I look back at the surface of the earth, I see all forms of devastation. It does not occur at the same time, but rather in succession. Fires consume much in their path. There will continue to be hurricanes and tornadoes, droughts in certain areas, and flooding elsewhere. I witness more of extreme heat and cold. Many people die. Many give up on life because there is no way of providing for themselves, and they no longer ask for God to provide for them. Suddenly, the entire scene ends. Jesus reminds me that what I just witnessed was shown to me before, and I faithfully provided the warning messages so his people could prepare their hearts. Those who pay close attention to the warnings will prepare. I now watch as a horrific scene plays out in front of me. I ask Jesus when this will happen. He replies that this is why I have been called to be the final messenger. These are the final, short moments of this earth's history. This is why I have been told repeatedly to give a message of repentance. The event I am shown will be known and observed just as clearly as the event that would be noticeably marked when Martha was given an opportunity to repent from the Justice and Mercy dream. This coming event will be noticed by those who can see, hear, and feel it. Great will be the loss. As Jesus and I begin walking again, he explains the following. The main detractors of the For My People ministry, who have much influence, and the named individuals who have not repented publicly, will have until this event to repent. This is their final opportunity. Will their pride come before their fall? Jesus stretched out his arms and legs to be crucified. All these people are asked to do is to admit their weakness and their lies. It is better for each of these individuals to humble themselves now than to want to repent as Jesus calls the cleansing fire upon them. The reproof has been provided of statements they have made that do not agree with the Bible and spirit of prophecy. If they do not repent by the time of the event, they will have grieved away the Holy Spirit and will be sealed outside the ark. They will have their own 7 days to wonder if they have been wrong and need to repent. If there is no repentance from them, they will never be mentioned again in my dreams, and they will be raised at the final resurrection to receive their judgment of eternal death. They will know that as they went into the ground defending their Satan-led beliefs, leading others to believe their ideas, they will all stand together to acknowledge the lies of their master Satan. They will call upon Jesus, but he will not know them. The scene closes, and Jesus tells me that I am not to give the details of what I have seen. I tell him that many will state that I should share the details as a warning. However, Jesus wants his people to focus on repentance, not on events. Jesus now shares important messages from the dream, the SDA Church. I was shown the wrong types of church services and how the members ask for the Holy Spirit to be with them, but another Spirit is there. The proper way to worship was shown. If there are no churches where the Holy Spirit is present, it is better to worship at home, even if it is only one person. The Holy Spirit and a chorus of angels will be there. Jesus and I stop walking again, and he explains that as time has continued on, the worship services of Seventh-day Adventist churches have deteriorated. He instructs that I share the following scenes I am observing. I notice worship services that are more like entertainment than worship. The speakers share many stories with the congregation, which is more like an audience. Some stories make the members laugh. Some members clap to show approval. The speakers do not talk about the Heavenly Father, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. In another scene, the service is centered on singing many modern praise songs. The speaker tells a feel-good story with nothing from the Bible or Spirit of Prophecy. The members clap and wave their hands in the air. Some are running up and down the aisles while saying they have the Spirit. I begin to wonder why the leaders are not doing something about the churches falling deeper into apostasy and spiritualism. The scene changes, and I am now witnessing a black charismatic church service. Jesus states that they excuse it because of their cultural background. I watch as a man in a black robe is preaching very loudly and jumping around the platform. I hear many of the black members irreverently shouting, "Amen! Tell it like it is! Make it plain! Bring it home!" or, "Lord, have mercy!" I hear many of these sacrilegious comments. Jesus asks how they think this type of service could possibly bring honor and glory to a holy and righteous God, when even the angels veil their faces in the Heavenly Father's presence. When these members gather for worship, the Holy Spirit is not there. Again, the scene changes, and I see a church service where members sing praise songs while swaying to the music with their hands raised. The speaker invites them to come forward to praise dance as David in the Bible danced. I see many people of different ages going forward to a specially prepared dancing area. The music from the live band produces an unholy and irreverent worship time. I recall the Reverence My Sanctuary dream that explained how the angels reverence God's throne. Jesus explains that the entire Sabbath should be a time of reverence when God walks with each of his people. However, he does not walk with those who participate in entertainment services. Jesus goes on to explain that just before probation closes, these are the things that will be seen and are happening now. This is why it is the time to repent now. Probation for God's church is about to close. That door is being shut, and those who are unprepared will fall. Yet God's true church will not fall. Jesus tells me that the scenes I just witnessed are not a part of God's true church. Next, Jesus shows me many scenes of single individuals quietly reading at home on Sabbath morning because they cannot find a good church to attend. Angels surround them. Other scenes show small groups joined together in homes to worship. Another scene shows a group under a tree on the side of a hill. Next, I see a few buildings with a sign out front that reads, Seventh-day Adventist Church. There are faithful churches that do not give in to the pressure of conference leadership. Jesus explains that those who I just witnessed and more like them consist of his people and his church. That church will not fall. The granite-laid, chandeliered, entertainment and megachurches will fall, but his church will not. The faithful ones go to God for guidance and will know when signs and wonders are laid out before them. Jesus now shows me a scene of individuals whose names will not be mentioned. They hold positions as leaders or pastors. I see them put on a white mask to make themselves look good and to hide their true identity before appearing in front of people. They smile and say soft, smooth things. There are other individuals who serve in their own ministry and are not a part of an established conference. However, they are controlled by the same leaders who wear a mask. All these masked individuals are placed by the hand of Satan to control and direct unfaithful churches. They pretend to serve, but instead delegate and dictate, and the people follow along as sheep being led to the slaughterhouse. These sheep will stand along with their leaders in the final resurrection. They have been told to test all things. My mind recalls the dream Two Cars and how those who went into the restaurant were given a bowl of meaty stew and a loaf of bread. I recall how the bread represents Jesus as our sacrifice, and the meat is his word. The broth represents the Holy Spirit. The members of entertainment churches receive no meal to provide nourishment for them to grow. They are not spiritually fed because they are entertained while the Bible and spirit of prophecy are belittled. They are spiritually starved sheep. I recall how Jesus referred to Jeremiah 3:15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Jesus now reveals to me how church members spend Sabbath afternoon. He shows me a scene where it is very common for many to go to a restaurant because they use the excuse that it would be a sin to cook on the Sabbath. Instead of preparing the Sabbath meal on Friday, they sin by paying for a meal on Sabbath, as well as allowing another to sin by cooking for them. There are others who believe it is all right to do good on the Sabbath by helping with community service projects which involve much work, such as painting a needy person's house or harvesting garden crops. These individuals are breaking God's fourth commandment. The Sabbath was created for man to rest. These are emerging church activities. Please read the Truth Book for more examples of the emerging church movement. The scene now closes, and Jesus tells me that he is going to give me another message of counsel and rebuke. It is not for everyone, but for those who seek to follow Jesus. He speaks on tithing once again. Tithing is an opportunity for us to return a thank offering in faith. It is to be placed in God's storehouse immediately and never stored up. The Father's work is to be continual, not just when individuals decide to return tithe. Those who do not return a tithe, but instead pay bills or provide for themselves, show no faith. Our Father will not bless those who show little or no faith. Those who continually return a tithe will be blessed. Those who return a second tithe or more will be richly blessed. Our Father does not need our tithe. He already owns it all. He could create money for those who need it as easily as he created the rain that falls. He owns and creates all. He allows each to have a small part, but sadly many squander away this opportunity. Much prayer is needed for guidance as to where the tithe should be placed. Much tithe is wasted. Many pray for the completion of the gospel, but they do not want to be involved in completing the work. I am shown that this earth is at the end of its path. Why then are many storing up funds to continue living on this earth? There are those who throw money away by investing, gambling, or purchasing lottery tickets in hopes of winning. Others borrow money because scammers tell them they have a large inheritance waiting for them if they will send funding first before receiving the inheritance. It would have been far better to take out a loan to support God's work. Yet it must be remembered that it is always best to avoid debt. Other scammers state that a person is a winner in a lottery, or that a relative has died and left money for them. We must be wise as serpents, as stated in Matthew 10:16. Jesus and I begin to walk again. He reveals that soon Becky and I will begin traveling to share his messages again. He will provide the needed funding and reminds me of the dream, The Good Driver, in which a long playground slide reaches from the ground to a window in the sky. The window slowly opens upwards, and falling from the opening is what looks like gold coins that slide down and create a mound on the ground. As these continue to fall, the mound grows larger. Jesus shares that soon those who have large means to provide for this work will give, and his messages will be shared with those who desire to hear them. Those who hear the Holy Spirit's voice will give all to spread these messages. The people who give all in faith will have all returned many times over. Job lost all, but all was returned to him many times over. God will also send instructions in dreams and visions for individuals to give so that his messages can be shared with his people. There are many more standing ready to support the spreading of the messages. They will give all as the final moments happen. Jesus reveals that now is the time to support the giving of the messages, because the money that many have now will soon be taken from them as the governments try to fix the worldwide monetary problems. Now is the time to place available funds into the Father's work. Soon new laws will make this difficult to do. A new law is about to be enacted that will change the lives of many. The faith of many will be shaken. However, God's true church will continue. It will shake hard, but it will stand. Jesus stresses that his church and his people will be few. In God's mercy, many will be laid to rest and will not go through the horrible times just at the end of this world's path. In comparison, the times are easy now. Jesus points up to the angel who stands ready to pour out the thick liquid. Now is the time for repentance and for each to do their financial part. After Jesus and I have walked along in silence for a few moments, I look up at him and state that although I serve as a messenger, I feel that I am not a very good public speaker. He looks down at me and responds that I am the bold one I was created to be, and that as I share, I will speak truth and say what is needed to be said. However, I will not be alone. Jesus will send those who will teach according to that which he has taught them. They will do his bidding, and the true church will continue on. It will not fall, but rather will grow as God's people hear truth. I tell Jesus I have something else I need to speak with him about. I mention about the dream, the gravel path, that I was shown on October 20, 2010, and that it will soon be a year since I was given that message. I state that I was not instructed to post that dream at the time, but I know that he is aware of my share in the dream, and several others with a couple to encourage them. Jesus responds that in a moment of weakness, the couple shared the dreams with John Scottram. Jesus explains that he knows the couple is not part of my ministry, as John has stated, but instead were members at a church where I was a member. Jesus also says that he is aware of John's accusations, that I changed the dreams to distort the information given, and that John has not been truthful in reporting without knowing all the facts. Jesus explains that if I record something incorrectly before the dreams are posted, I will be corrected in another dream. This has happened a few times because the message needs to be given correctly. The dreams have always been edited, but never distorted. Jesus reminds me of the following example of how his prophet, Ellen White, often made changes to messages she had received. He holds up his hands, and the following appears. It may be asked, then, why were the three lines omitted from the printing of the version in 1851 in Mrs. White's first book? In introducing the vision in the book, she gives a very general reason for all omission, space and repetition of subject matter. This would apply more to the paragraphs descriptive of the new earth than the three lines in question. As to the statement embodied in them, the author herself had the right, even the responsibility, to choose content and wording for her book that would correctly convey what was revealed to her. If there were phrases that were capable of distortion or interpretation, to mean that which she did not intend to teach, she had the privilege and even the duty of handling the matter in such a way that the printed account would correctly reflect her intentions. Ellen G. White, The Early Years, Volume 1, page 270. Why were the lines omitted in 1851? Jesus states that I have authority to edit the dreams as needed. I am now thinking to myself why I was telling Jesus about the details of John Scottram, when Jesus already knows about the situation. As he smiles and looks over at me, he replies, "Because I enjoy walking and talking with you. I look forward to the time when I can walk and talk with all my people throughout the universe. I miss being able to be with each one of you." He states that the Heavenly Father knew what would happen. He allowed it because he knew it would be needed at this time, because he knew what the couple would do, and because he knows of John's false teachings. Jesus instructs that I am to include the dream, the gravel path, in this dream for all to read and understand. Draft, original, unedited, and unposted. The Gravel Path, October 20, 2010, by Ernie Knoll. In my dream, I am walking down a gravel path. I know I have been walking along for a short while. I seem to take note that the path I am walking has been landscaped. The area I walk has gravel that is held in place by small wood timbers. On the other side of the wood timbers is grass that has placed and is kept mowed and watered. On the other side of the grass is another wood timber. On the other side of the timber are very small but very neatly trimmed bushes. I know the wood timbers are used to keep the gravel, the grass, and the bushes separate. I notice the bushes all seem to provide a large assortment of flowers. As I walk along, I notice the sweet aroma of the flowers mixed with the smell of the freshly cut grass is very pleasant. I hear the constant crunch of my shoes on the gravel as I walk along. The path is always flat. It does not go up or down. As I walk along, I always have a very beautiful view. Just a little ahead, I notice what appears to be a stick laying across the path. As I get closer, I notice the stick is red. I then notice the stick has red bulges along the sides of it. As I get closer, I realize it is not a stick at all. I am now but a few feet from it, and I realize it is a snake. The snake turns and begins to come toward me. I instantly fall and find that I am unable to get back up. I see the snake beginning to hiss at me, and I know it plans to attack me. I begin throwing gravel at the snake. The snake watches the gravel and simply dodges. The snake is now very close to me, and I cry out, "Jesus! Jesus Christ! Help me!" Instantly, I see what I would describe as pleasant workers with garden hose begin whacking and chopping this rather large snake. I notice that all the peasant garden workers are dressed the same. They wear sandals, linen work slacks, and a linen work shirt. On their head is what looks like a sombrero. I also notice that all the workers' clothes are very white. I then notice a larger worker carries a device with a nozzle on the end of it. It ignites, and I know it is a garden blowtorch. He stands with the torch, and I see the remains of the snake consumed in the flames. One of the garden workers walks over, and he extends his hand to help me up. He does not say anything, but smiles at me. As I am assisted back to my feet, the worker with the torch says that the great gardener heard my request for help. He says that he is always listening. This was the end of the dream. Jesus and I stop walking again, and he points to the right. I see once again the scene play out in front of me. He tells me that it is now time that I and others understand the meaning of the gravel path dream. I am shown a man with grain hair and a beard who is gardening on his farm. He is talking about the love of Jesus and humming a hymn. In an instant he begins yelling and swearing with very foul language at what I know to be employees. I am shown many dishonest things he does as an employer, as well as the constant mistreatment of his employees. He speaks like a man who is godly, but in a rage he speaks as if a man possessed by demons. Jesus turns toward me and explains that this is the man who has received two prior messages through my dreams to cease his studies of the Orion clock. He has been shown of his time setting and calculations of future events. The message of a clock being smashed was a clear message for him to cease. He has refused. In the last dream, the hourglass, a more specific message was given for John Scottram to cease his Orion studies because the information is false and he is leading people astray. The studies he has posted on his website are a testament to all of his date-setting and changing statements from the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy to his own way of thinking. He was asked twice to cease. This will be the final request. Although God is patient, he cannot wait forever. This earth's hourglass is about to have its last grain of sand fall through. Jesus explains that I was given the dream, the gravel path, for a reason. I had not been instructed to post it because our Father knows the beginning to the end. All is conditional, and John is being asked one more time to cease. Jesus now shares that he is to show me something so that I and others will completely understand the dream, the gravel path. He points to the right again. As I watch the dream play out again, I now realize that the first time I had been observing as if through the eyes of the individual in the dream. I now stand as an observer watching the individual walking along the gravel path. As I watch the gravel path dream play out, I noticed that it was not myself walking along the gravel path in the dream, but rather John Scottram. I watch as I see John walking along, enjoying the beauty surrounding the path. As he continues on, he observes a red stick. Then I see him realize it is actually a red snake. I see John fall, and the snake begins to come toward him. He is unable to get up, and the snake begins to hiss at him. He picks up gravel and throws it toward the snake. The snake dodges all the gravel. John realizes that all he has done was of no use. He realizes that for him to be saved, there is only one name he can call upon. I now see John call out, "Jesus! Jesus Christ! Save me!" Instantly, I see the peasant garden workers dressed in white linen pants and shirts. They are the same employees that John was yelling at. They now come over and hit the snake with their garden tools. Suddenly, a gardener who looks different from the rest arrives with a garden blowtorch, and he incinerates the remains of the snake. I hear him told that Jesus is always listening and that the great gardener heard his request for help. Jesus turns to me and says that even though our Father is always listening, that last grain of sand is about to pass through, as mentioned in the dream, the hourglass. On the farm in Paraguay, where John Scottram lives, he has fallen. God is waiting for him to call out the name of Jesus. John is being asked one final time to put away his false teachings in each language he has used and to openly repent of the things he has stated against me. Jesus points to the right, and I see Acts 1:6-7 being written out. He explains that he was with his disciples when they asked when he would restore his kingdom. It is recorded as follows. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power." To help those who have listened to John Scottram's time-setting ideas, Jesus shares the following words he gave to his prophet Ellen White to record. The disciples were anxious to know the exact time for the revelation of the kingdom of God, but Jesus tells them that they may not know the times and the seasons, for the Father has not revealed them. To understand when the kingdom of God should be restored was not the thing of most importance for them to know. They were to be found following the Master, praying, waiting, watching, and working. They were to be representatives to the world of the character of Christ. That which was essential for a successful Christian experience in the days of the disciples is essential in our day. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And after the Holy Ghost was upon them, what were they to do? "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is the work in which we also are to be engaged. Instead of living in expectation of some special season of excitement, we are wisely to improve present opportunities, doing that which must be done in order that souls may be saved. Instead of exhausting the powers of our mind in speculations in regard to the times and seasons which the Lord has placed in his own power and withheld from men, we are to yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, to do present duties, to give the bread of life, unadulterated with human opinions, to souls who are perishing for the truth. Satan is ever ready to fill the mind with theories and calculations that will divert men from the present truth and disqualify them for the giving of the third angel's message to the world. Review and Herald, March 22, 1892. John Scottram is also being asked to stop his studies that deal with numerology. There are others who deal in numerology by calculating examples resulting in the number 2520. They give faulty reasons for doing this when they should instead be studying what is important to their salvation. Those individuals should consider the following. Satan is ever ready to fill the mind with theories and calculations that will divert men from the present truth and disqualify them for the giving of the third angel's message to the world. It has ever been thus, for our Savior often had to speak reprovingly to those who indulged in speculations and were ever inquiring into those things which the Lord had not revealed. Jesus had come to earth to impart important truth to men, and he wished to impress their minds with the necessity of receiving and obeying his precepts and instructions, of doing their present duty, and his communications were of an order that imparted knowledge for their immediate and daily use. Selected Messages, Book 1, page 186. John Scottram is also being asked to treat his workers as they should be treated. Jesus explains that all he needs to do is ask in his name, and the demons that walk with him will be commanded to leave, and holy angels would protect him in his walk. As was shown in the dream, the gravel path, John has fallen, and Jesus waits for him to call out his name. He will then reach down and lift him up. The door of repentance will not be open forever. That privilege will soon be sealed shut. He can either approach now or stand as a false witness with those who stand against the word. Jesus and I begin walking again. I look at the path we have been walking on and know that we have walked a great distance together and that the end of the path is just ahead. Jesus calls me by my heavenly name again and tells me that the messages I am providing are touching more hearts than I realize. There are many who are searching and many who are finding truth for the first time. The messages are reaching many outside God's church and are also reminders of those who have studied but forgotten. Jesus assures me that I do not need to worry about those who still make unfounded claims against me because they speak lies. He says that I am earnest and I am truth. I was called to serve as the last messenger to his chosen church. He tells me to continue to be faithful so that he can come and take me away from this world as I had asked. Just as Moses was taken to heaven, and just as Enoch and Elijah were translated, Jesus reveals that they, along with many who were raised with him, stand as a testament and now walks the streets of gold in heaven. If I remain faithful, if each remains faithful in the messages that have been sent, he will come and take them away from this world. They will see him coming in the clouds to call his redeemed from the depths of the earth. He will raise them to immortal glory, just as I saw the decaying leaves brought back to life as Jesus and I walked on the long path today. If each approaches the throne of mercy before the doors shut, before the marking angel passes by, each will be taken home with Jesus where they will walk together. Jesus smiles at me and says that it has been a good Sabbath, that he has enjoyed being with me and looks forward to when we will always be together. Jesus looks behind me at the herald and all the angels who have been softly singing during our walk. The herald now stands next to us, and Jesus asks him if we could all listen to a song. I turn and notice all the angels ascend a short distance into the air. I now notice the whole path where we have walked, as far as I can see, is a living, vibrant green with a myriad colorful array of beautiful flowers and trees that are full of life. All from just the footsteps of Jesus. The herald now sings a note, and all the angels join together in a most beautiful chorus. As they continue to sing, I ask Becky if she has ever heard any singing as beautiful as that. In an instant, I realize I am still here on this dark, sinful earth. It is early in the morning, and it was a dream. I lay there and think of how Jesus and I walked together on that path. It was a wonderful Sabbath walking, talking, and laughing with Jesus. I think about the many times he wrapped his arm around me as we walked side by side, the many times we stopped, and I looked into those eyes where the love of the love of the love can be seen. I think of that gentle, soothing voice. I think of how he wiped the tears from my face. I take a deep breath and think how in God's time and by his will be done. As I have things spoken against me, I will continue to use my everlasting, ever clean, now large white towel. I vowed to Jesus and to my Heavenly Father that as much as I want to have the torch passed on to someone else, I will continue to serve as the fallible human being that I am. From the beginning to the end, God knows all. Since my name is Ernest, I will be truth, although I still like to be called Ernie.